Welcome to the Max Living Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Dr. Nick Wilson.
I'm Dr. Tracy Gross. On this podcast, we have conversations about health. We talk about what it is, where it comes from, and really how you can achieve it for yourself and your entire family.
Hey, I hope you really enjoy this episode on the Max Living Podcast. So Dr. Tracy, today we're talking about building a robust, powerful body, body armor, right? So we're talking about making your body bulletproof when it comes to sickness and disease and chronic illness.
Yeah, essentially. And I think that's something that everyone is looking for right now.
Yeah, especially we all know somebody who is sick or has been sick or who's struggled, whether that be COVID or pneumonia or heart disease or cancer. We all know that person and we watch that person and we don't want it to be us, number one. Mm-hmm. And many of us are taking care of loved ones. So we can't get sick. We can't be the ones who are struggling. And the good news is there are things that you can do to build that robust, powerful immune system and also a body that's vibrating at its highest frequency.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not just because we don't want to be sick, but like you said, there are people who are depending on us. We need to be caretakers. We need to be parents. We need to go to work. And really what it comes down to is when you are your healthiest, not only can you operate and do your daily activities, but you can live into your full potential.
That's right. So there is this idea of it's not really a new idea. I mean, we saw this with COVID that, you know, 94% of COVID deaths, they had an underlying health condition. Hmm. You know, and it's not just one condition. On average, there's 2.4 comorbidities for those who died of COVID. And so it is more clear, and I think it's become more clear, that there are things that you can do to help yourself. And that's what we want to talk about today, are what are those things? We're going to get into the tangible action steps that you can take on a daily basis to be on the side of health rather than sickness, disease, and vulnerability.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to preface this and start by saying that any time you make a lifestyle change, it is practice. You are always practicing at building your health. So you may not get it perfectly in the beginning. I certainly didn't. But over time, you will get better and better at making the right choices that you need for a healthy lifestyle.
That's right. And it comes down to, and I think this is why I feel like we have to talk about this, is health has to be your priority though. Mm-hmm. Because if health is not a priority, then this is still just more noise. And the last thing that we want to provide on this platform is more noise. There's already too much noise out there.
Right.
We'll help you distill the noise and really get to a plan. Mm-hmm. And that's what today is about, is the plan.
Yes, exactly. So I think we can start this off by breaking it down super simple. We have two ends of the spectrum when it comes to health. If you are not healthy, then health is on the other end, on one end, and on the other end is what?
Is disease or
sickness. Disease. Yeah. And mm-hmm. then ultimately the greatest sickness is, well, death, right? Mm-hmm. All of us fall somewhere along that scale. If we're looking at it on a scale of like health, life, and death, we're somewhere in the middle. So the goal is to get as close to the end of health as possible, right? And that's what all of these practices are doing for us. So you talk about a health continuum. Mm-hmm. Describe that for us.
Yeah, and it's really a health continuum or vitality continuum. And that word vitalism, all it means is that your body is self-healing, self-regulating. It's designed to operate and function and heal and regulate on its own. And it's designed to do that at 100%. And what happens because of our lifestyle, because of the things we're exposed to, because of some of our choices, what happens is that our body starts to either break down prematurely or we add interferences in the body's natural ability to function and heal on its own. Okay. So give me an example. Sugar, you know, it's something we talk about a lot. Mm-hmm. Sugar immediately begins to break down the immune system. So your immune system may be designed to function at 100%, but then you add this artificial ingredient, or this ingredient that was from nature but then been manipulated or changed, and all of a sudden your immune system starts to react. And when your immune system starts to react, it's not able to react to other things in the environment. And so immediately when we take in sugar, our immune system takes a hit. Okay, so your immune system might have been designed to function at 100%, but now all of a sudden you're interfering with its natural expression.
Mm-hmm.
So there are things, not just sugar, that we do on a regular basis that interfere with the body's natural ability to heal, function, and regulate on its own. So the more that we do that over time, the body is not functioning at 100%, whatever percentage that might be, but that is dysfunction, and dysfunction inevitably turns into dis-ease. And inevitably that turns into full-blown pathology, or what we call a disease. And whatever we label that as, whether it's chronic and it's, let's say it's diabetes now, because now our blood sugars are not regulating on its own, or it is our immune system is now attacking itself because of whatever stimulus that we've been exposed to, or whatever antigen or whatever thing that might have caused our body to turn on itself, we can label that and tag it and treat it. But if we never get to the underlying cause of it, mm-hmm. then we're going to be chasing our tail. And that's what you see in really the most prominent form of healthcare right now, is this allopathic medicine, which is a lot of chasing our tail, tagging and treating, not looking for some of these underlying lifestyle issues that would have set it up in the first place.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And what I found is that's where most people run into chronic conditions, mm-hmm. is doing these things that are not actually getting to the root cause of the problem. And it may help temporarily. It may alleviate symptoms, which, if we're talking about this vitality continuum, it may cause you to feel like you are moving closer to health. You're sliding upward on that scale. Mm-hmm. But because it's not actually getting to the cause of the problem, then you slide back down on the scale. And then you are in the same place or worse off than you were before. And utilizing these temporary fixes, whether it be medications to cover things up and not actually get to the root cause of the problem. But then that's where you get stuck in that cycle of temporary fix, backslide, temporary fix, backslide over and over. And that's when a condition becomes chronic.
That's right. And it gets harder and harder to deal with the longer you stay there.
Right.
And people will be like, they'll be in that mode where it's like, man, I'm struggling with my health and I'm on medications and I've been dealing with this for 10 years and I've been eating kale for now 2 months and I'm still not better. Mm-hmm. And they're frustrated because they've been now taking supplements. They've been doing something, but they forget that it has taken decades to get there.
Right.
And it's going to take some time to rebuild, rejuvenate, and repair, because the body is constantly cycling itself. And that is the good news for you. Let's say you're listening right now and you're like, but man, I've been struggling with this. You know, I have poor health. I've got symptoms. I'm doing the drug therapy. I've had the surgery. I'm actively losing normal function. Well, here's the good news. You get a new set of red blood cells every 120 days because your body recycles itself. You get a whole new stomach lining every 6 months. The epithelial lining of your stomach literally replaces itself. New skin cell between 9 months and a year. So your body is literally recycling itself every single day, and you're getting new cells. The things that you are putting into your body right now are becoming a part of you, right?
Yeah.
That either good or bad.
Yeah, yeah. And here's the key to that is, do you want to be replacing your cells with sick cells, or do you want to be replacing your cells with healthy ones?
That's right.
When you implement these lifestyle practices and you get to the root cause of the problem, then you will actively be replacing with healthy cells.
That's right. And that brings us right into one of the first things that we're going to talk about is, or the first thing, I guess, that we're going to talk about, one of the essentials is food. And it's nutrition, and it's the most commonly, I think, it's the one that's most understood, but it's one of the ones that's most commonly missed, because food is either convenient and addictive, or a habit that is formed intentionally. And you know, the way that you look at food matters, and food oftentimes can be a means to an end for some, and food can oftentimes be pleasure and comfort. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of emotions that can be attached to food mm-hmm. and drinks. Mm-hmm. But it can also be the subtle poison that you put into your body on a regular basis, that small dosing that you just don't think about, that again, replaces those good cells at first, mm-hmm. right? So that thing that you're putting into your body, let's call it sugar, let's call it, maybe it's actually bad fats, you know, that you're putting in. Let's use a common example.
But like aren't all fats bad?
Oh, goodness. Oh, my. If you were born before 1975, you believe or you had lived mm-hmm. through the era of all fat is bad for you, mm-hmm. right? And that's the whole fat-free craze. You know, you had fat-free everything for a period of time. You still see it in the grocery stores. I saw one time on a bag of carrots that it said fat-free on it. I'm like, man, whoever bought that because of the of that, they just fell right for the marketing.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. So we lived through this fat-free craze all to combat heart disease, right? It's because we saw heart disease going up.
Yeah.
Right. And so you don't want high cholesterol and you don't want fat inside of your blood vessels. So eliminate fat in your diet. Well, what happened? We eliminated fat in our diet and heart disease continued to rise. Hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. We attacked fat as if fat were the enemy. Fat was not the enemy. We need good, healthy fats. Our brain needs fats. Our hormones, our hormones need fat. Mm-hmm. Our hormones, this double lipid bilayer, I don't want to get into the science of it, but the fact that
hormones are made of fat.
There you go. I mean,
your brain is made of fat.
And our nervous system coated with fat. Mm-hmm. Our bodies need healthy fat. And I said healthy for a reason, because there's good fats and there are bad fats. Bad fats are those that have been manipulated, those who have been heated up too much, those who have been like canola oil as an example, that's been completely modified from its natural form. Mm-hmm. Canola oil stands for Canadian low acid, made from rapeseed plant. You might wonder what are those? Well, it's very difficult to market rapeseed, right?
Yeah.
For the obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying grapeseed there. It's grape without the G. And so they chemically modified it, manipulated it, and then you get canola oil. Mm-hmm. And many people thought canola oil was a good, healthy fat because it was low fat, right? And mm-hmm. so just because something is low fat does not make it good for you. Mm-hmm. That's not even a fat that would be recognized as such, because it's been so chemically modified at this point. It's more of a chemical than it is a fat. Mm-hmm. So, but you get into the bad fats and you recognize that, hey, if it's been modified, if it's been changed, if it's been heated up hydrogenated, right? So mm-hmm. Like you see some of the oils that have that on, especially packaged foods.
Yeah.
You got to look at that and you got to think, okay, canola oil, hydrogenated oils, these are things that are not going to serve me well. They're not going to bless my body.
Yeah.
They're not going to do well. My body's not going to recognize them and utilize them. And I don't want that to become a part of me, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, that's that huge mindset shift. When you're looking at food in the grocery store, instead of thinking, do I want this? Does this sound good? Like, ask yourself, do I want this to be a part of me?
Right. Because what happens, I want to dig into this just a little bit, because these bad fats, they're not just becoming a part of you. They're actually creating chemical changes within your body and they're causing you to age prematurely. It's causing inflammation to rise steadily in your body. It's causing oxidative stress steadily in your body. Oxidative stress causes you to age prematurely. It causes you to lose your hair, your nails to stop growing as fast as they would, your skin not to be as elastic as it should, your telomeres. So the part of your DNA that causes you to age prematurely, it shortens them. And so you're actually rapidly causing stress in your body. And some people, you know, aging prematurely, they don't really care about that, but it's causing disease prematurely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, not to get too deep in the weeds with the science, but the telomeres are the ends of your DNA. Mm-hmm. And then when you lose the telomeres and your cells that hold the DNA do not have that protection, then they die. When your cells are dying, you're dying, essentially. That's where we get sickness. That's where we get disease. And then ultimately, if we're living a life of sickness and disease, that leads to an early death.
Right. So when you see those bad oils, you identify the bad oils, mm-hmm. you say, okay, those are bad fats. Okay, I want to avoid bad fats, but what do I then do? What do I then replace that with? Good, healthy fats are good for you. In fact, that is the missing macronutrient in the American diet. North American diets are missing fat. Mm-hmm. And good, healthy fats come from good sources of fish, ideally Pacific cold water. The smaller the fish, the better. The larger the fish, the more likely it is to be toxic. You want to stay away from farm-raised fish. Farm-raised fish, there's lots of problems with farm-raised fish. You want it to be wild-caught. Mm-hmm. Right? Raw seeds, raw nuts. You want good, healthy fats from even, I'm going to say it, good, healthy sources of dairy like butter. And I say that intentionally because many people will look at that butter and think, well, it's high in fat, and they'll choose margarine. Well, again, margarine, you know, I can't believe it's not butter. It's not. It's like one molecule away from plastic, right? You put it out in the woods and animals do not touch margarine. They eat butter if you put them side by side. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those are good, healthy sources of fat. Avocado, coconut oil, mm-hmm. Good, healthy sources of fat. Even though coconut is in that category of saturated of fat, remember, it's coconut oil is a medium chain fatty acid. And so what that means for you is that it can lower inflammation. It can help you with, it has antifungal properties, antibacterial properties. Now, do you want to go crazy with any one macronutrient and only have one source of that macronutrient like fat? Of course not. Mm-hmm. Even Eskimos, their diet is not entirely fat. You know, Eskimos have been used to promote extreme high fat and only fat diets.
Okay.
And okay, right?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Oh, they have like blubber. There's people say, well, they eat blubber, and not true. It's 60 to 70% of their diet is fat, and yet they don't end up getting heart disease. Hmm. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
It's not the fat that's causing your heart disease. It's sugar. Hmm. Sugar is what's causing your heart disease because mm-hmm. it's highly inflammatory. It causes the inflammation within the blood vessels. And then what ends up happening is now the liver produces more cholesterol to attack and patch up rather those holes that are in the blood vessels. Mm-hmm. And we go in with the microscope and we see all the cholesterol there and we say, wow, it's cholesterol. Mm. It's not cholesterol. Cholesterol responded to inflammation. Mm-hmm. You know, do blood work on people, do functional testing on people. And those with the highest risk of atherosclerosis, which is plaquing and hardening of the arteries, It's really not their fat content. You look at their fat in their diet and also in their blood work, and it's not the problem. It's almost always the inflammation. Mm-hmm. And that you can look at bad fats, sugar, and toxins that cause inflammation. Mm-hmm. And so there are markers of that, but the biggest marker is what you put into your mouth every day, right? That's the number one thing that you would look for that would cause these things. And so it's, you know, what goes into your body becomes a part of your body, but it also creates this domino effect mm-hmm. that your body is reacting to constantly. So how can it possibly be vibrating at its highest of frequency? Or how can it possibly be building this robust immune system or this body armor that is, that is unbreakable or untouchable? It can't if it's constantly being attacked by the things that you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that is such a simple move that you can make just simply by changing the things that you're eating, paying more attention. I think awareness of what you're putting in your body is the very first step. Mm-hmm. We talked about at the grocery store, looking at labels, making sure that you're reading and making sure that it doesn't say hydrogenated oils on it. When we talk about reading labels, we're not talking about turning it over and looking at the calorie content.
That's a big one.
Mm-hmm. There's the food label at the top that has kind of the breakdown of percentages of like protein and all of that. But honestly, I don't even pay attention to that. It's underneath that very small text where it says ingredients and it lists out all of the ingredients in that food. And that's where I get my important information from.
That's right. The ingredient list is what you pay attention to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would honestly, when looking at all this, and this is going to be very unpopular, this statement here.
Okay.
I would rather you not eat than eat something that's toxic. I'd rather you not eat than eat bad fats. I'd rather you not eat than eat something that has not just a high sugar content, but it's made from bad sugar content. Do you know what I mean? Because you're looking at the sugars on the label, and many times there's natural occurring sugars. Like if you put a label on a cucumber as an example, you're going to see that it's going to say sugars, natural occurring, but it's going to be natural occurring from the actual food itself because it's carbohydrates.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. Carbohydrates turn to sugar. Mm-hmm. So it's not about that because vegetables are carbohydrates and carbohydrates turn to sugar. So you're not eliminating the carbohydrates. But I would rather you not eat at all mm-hmm. than eat substances that are going to interfere with your body's innate expression of itself.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm talking about fasting, right? Mm-hmm. And I told you it wouldn't be popular.
Yeah.
And it won't be popular. But some people just get into this pickle of, okay, but you know, I'm hungry. What am I going to eat? Maybe you shouldn't all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, most people, if we're talking about right now, the vast majority of North Americans, we have a weight problem. We have too much fat. We have reserves. Mm-hmm. You can go without food. And actually that signals to your brain, these short periods of call it famine, actually signal to your brain to burn fat, mm-hmm. changes your hormones. Just watch, skip dinner one time. Just, you'll be hungry at night. You're going to have difficulty sleeping, but guess what? Your leptin, your ghrelin, these hormones that influence your fat burn, your ability to burn fat, tell your brain to burn fat, they signal and they say, hey, he might be going into starvation mode here. We got to start using our reserves. So what does it start to do? It starts to get into the reserves, mm-hmm. which is the fat. So I it takes a mindset shift. I get it. However, like, what do you really want? At the end of the day, if health is important, if health is the highest of your priorities, because all else falls when you lose your health. Mm-hmm. When you lose your health, you lose everything.
Right.
So a period of time of not eating is not starving yourself. It's creating a better relationship with food. Mm-hmm. And having a better relationship with food is an ongoing and never-ending relationship.
And even just to prove to yourself that you are in control of your body. You're not being controlled by your potentially bad habits or routines or even desires. Like, you have the ability to control your body and to change it if you want.
That's right.
That's very powerful.
And it really leads us into the mindset of this whole thing, mm-hmm. right? Because people say, well, I get cranky when I don't eat. Well, know that about yourself and don't get cranky. Mm-hmm. You know that about yourself and just realize, hey, drink lots of water. Hey, what I'm feeling right now is normal because I'm changing my physiology. This is my brain saying, I don't like this. I prefer to be constantly fed. Well, your brain might say, I prefer to be constantly fed for this in case of emergency, because that's what that, you know, this really, if you look at the primitive way of the primitive psychology here, your brain wants you to be overfed in case of emergency. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, we only have had industrialization for the past 100 or so years. And so we have a lot of adaptation, our bodies, or some might call it evolution, where our bodies are primed to tell us, eat lots of stuff in case there's this emergency so that I can at least be full and survive longer. Mm-hmm. You get that?
Yeah.
So this idea of I'm going to be cranky, or I'm going to be not be able to sleep a little bit, or I'm not going to know that it's not going to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. It's okay that it's not going to be comfortable. Going from a sugar burner to a fat burner might not be comfortable, right? Changing over your diet might not be easy. Going from diet soda, because that is killing you, by the way, both mm-hmm. the diet part of it with the many times it's added chemicals to get rid of the sugar, or the fact that it's not no calorie, low calorie. Mm-hmm. Well, do you know what they have to do chemically to trick your body into thinking that that is a substance that you should consume? I mean, just the chemical pathway. Think about it.
Just the processing of it and chemicals added.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's the number one thing that if you see sugar free, what's the one ingredient that you're thinking about that might be in there?
Oh, aspartame, artificial sugars.
Exactly. Yeah. And that is literally killing people, mm-hmm. right? And people say,
why? It's a carcinogen. It's a cancer causing agent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And people say, well, I have to have it because if I don't have it, it causes headaches. Mm. No crud. Like, of course, of course it would cause symptoms if you're getting rid of a poison for a period of time. So the mindset of this, it might be uncomfortable, but it's necessary to purpose. If your purpose is to serve your family, God, your community at your highest level, your people that you take care of, or whatever your purpose is on this planet, it all depends on your health.
Yeah, yeah.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Getting healthy may feel uncomfortable in the beginning, but I promise you that sickness and disease is way more uncomfortable.